You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, where we don't have to do our own pro days, and if we did, we'd have the guy here to scout us and probably give us all the bad results. So I'm Michael F. Florio, joined by Marcus Grant, who... This is like your Jordan Flug day.
Yeah, today? I'm playing a little bit hurt. I woke up this morning. The throat was not 100%, but we're going to battle. We're going to get through this one.
And joining us today, the guy who would be scouting our pro days, because he scouts if you've ever carried a football, the chances are Emory Hunt has watched you play. So joining us right now is Emory Hunt. You can find him on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. And of course, you have to go out and buy the most in-depth draft guide that I've ever laid eyes on. You can go and get it through Emory's Twitter page or website, FootballGamePlan.com. Emory, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me on. And I appreciate Marcus gutting it out. That adds another notch in his scouting report that he's fighting through an injury.
I love it. I love it.
Do you give guys a boost when they play through injury or illness or something like that? Shows toughness.
No, but I will take some points off if you look dumb in equipment. Like if your equipment just doesn't look right. Nah, it doesn't look right in equipment. Or you wear a bad number at a skill position, points off.
I mean, look, Deion Sanders said you look good, you play good, right? So it makes sense. It all works together.
It checks out. And, of course, if you listen to the show for a while now, you know that Emory joins us each and every year around this time because no one has watched more of these college prospects than Emory. So we bring him in every year to talk some of these guys that we like, some of these guys that we don't know. And just the thing I love most about Emory, too, is he doesn't, you know, fall in line with the consensus thinking or anything. Like, he grades players by how he sees them, which takes us to our first question, Emory. What made you put Anthony Richardson as your number one quarterback when most people have either Bryce Young or CJ Stroud?
For me, it's a combination of skill set and also upside potential. So you're looking at a projection here. So when you go back to watch Anthony Richardson, everyone always said, well, what game did you watch? Because I said this take in July, before he even took a snap as a full-time starter, and people called me crazy then, and they probably still call me crazy now. But I look back at the LSU game, and that, to me, told you everything that you need to know about Anthony Richardson. He didn't start that game. They were still doing that thing with Emory Jones. He came in the game, threw a horrible interception, I think in his third pass, or maybe it was his first pass. It was a pick six. They get down. He stays in the game, fights through that adversity, leads them to a big lead, and did a lot of different things and great things, not only inside the red zone, throwing the football, throwing guys open, made some great tight window throws. LSU stormed back, took the lead. So now it's the end of the game, and they need to drive down for a touchdown. Anthony Richardson starts on the 20, brings him up to the 50-yard line, some great passes, some great time management skills, and he's throwing what looked to be the game-winning touchdown down the rail route to his receiver, who's one-on-one with a linebacker. He gets hit as he throws, and the ball hangs up, and the guy catches the interception, ends the game. That game shows you, man, this dude definitely can overcome adversity, doesn't let bad mistakes linger. And he, on that throw, even on a score sheet, it'll say interception, but it was the right throw, and it was the right read. And that was a guy that didn't start the game, so he came off cold, and he never knew when he was going to come into a game and had to really, you know, hone in and lock in and play. So for me, you watch that little snippet, and then you extrapolate that, okay, if he can do this, and one of his major weaknesses or knocks is experience, well, we can give you that. We can get you to play a lot. And I think that's why when you look at Anthony Richardson, I was so high on him and still am in this process.
So I look, in all fairness, you've got Richardson one, but you've got him the same grade as Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. So you got them 1, 2, 3. When I picked up the guide, I'm looking through it, and I'm like, all right, so he's got those guys, top three. All right, so where's Will Levis? And I'm scrolling, and I'm scrolling, and I'm scrolling, and I'm like, whoa, you got Will Levis at 18. Now, you still think he has the ability to be a starter in this league and be a good player. But 18, is this the mayo in the coffee? Is it the eating a whole rotten banana? Like, what did you see or not see out of Will Levis that put you at 18 for him?
Well, that weighed significantly heavily in his grade. Like, oh, you're eating a raw banana? I don't even like eating the brown parts of the banana or the little stringy parts of the banana. And here you are eating the whole peeling. Like, definitely going to fall down my board. But now, when you look at Will Levis, and this is something that you guys understand because you guys have, you know, followed me for a while in terms of my grading. When you grade so many guys and not – if people just constantly throw at you, okay, here's the five names you need to know, and you just grade those five guys, having Will Levis fourth would be like, okay, yeah, that's cool. That's okay. But when you grade so many guys and you just got to be honest in what you see, you kind of fall in line. And so I like a bunch of guys better in terms of where they are currently based off their film, more so than Will Levis. And people bring up, well, he didn't have, you know, help. He didn't have weapons. He didn't have this. The grass wasn't as blue in Kentucky this year. The bourbon wasn't where it needed to be. All that stuff, right? And so now you look at last year's tape, it was still the same thing as this year's tape. He wasn't as good last year. And people talk about the weapons he lost. Like, he lost Wandale Robinson, who caught a lot of tap passes that he turned into 65-yard touchdown passes down the field. So what are we really talking about? And for me, you look at his age, you look at his inability to really place the ball consistently, which leads to a lot of interceptions, some bad ones, some crucial ones. And he's supposed to be this great athlete, yet I always see him taking a lot of sacks, not getting out the way. So he's supposed to supersede a bad offensive line, right? And so there's a lot of factors in that. And you look at his overall tape, you just don't see it. So I'm not going to force it because everyone is saying Richardson, Stroud, you know, Bryce Young, Will Levis. Nah, there's like, as you mentioned, 15 other guys I have ahead mm-hmm. of Levis outside of the top three.
And with this running back class, it's Bijan, Bijan, Bijan. It feels like if you ask like 100 different people, 99 of them would say Bijan is their RB1. Luckily, we have the one here who doesn't feel that way because you have Jahmyr Gibbs ranked ahead of Bijan Robinson.
It's funny because Jahmyr Gibbs had us watching a lot of Georgia Tech football when Georgia Tech stunk. And so it's like, man, who is this running back, man? This dude is legit. And you start to say, man, if he played at Alabama, Alabama would be unbeatable. Then he goes ahead and transfers to Alabama and gets that opportunity. I don't think he was used enough at Bama. And all of the things that I like about Bijan Robinson, I like about Jahmyr Gibbs, just he does it more explosive and faster and more elusive. So to me, that makes him the better option. And I still like Bijan. I said this before. This is someone, if you look at my grades from 2020 to 2023, Bijan will rank third behind Jahmyr Gibbs and DeAndre Swift. I just feel like, you know, Bijan is someone that's excellent, a complete back, a three down guy. So is Jahmyr Gibbs. And because he does it at a more explosive and more elusive and a more dynamic, in my opinion, level.
So every once in a while, I like to kind of pat myself on the back for stuff. And the more I look at Tyjae Spears, the more I like him. And you've got him as your running back four. Tell me what it is about Tyjae Spears that jumped out at you.
It's amazing when you watch someone play and you just are, you find yourself wowing a lot every time. And for Tyjae Spears, you're watching him, you're like, man, this dude, how did he get to that cutback? How did he find that second or third gear to hit that home run? And it's like, Jesus, like this dude is amazing. And not only is he amazing athletically, he's doing it in top tier uniform combinations as well. So it looks even better while he's doing it, right? Because his uniform is just flawless with that two-lane sea green and aqua, right? So when you look at him, it's the speed, explosiveness, acceleration. And I was shocked when it came out that he was 5'9", 204, because his comparison for me was Breece Hall, because they have such a smooth, decisive running style, able to dig deep and find, you know, the backside crease, has the acceleration to really hit the home run. And the fact that he's doing it not at 6'1", 220 like Breece Hall, but in a smaller package, it made it even more impressive. So I just think Tulane found themselves a gem because they had a little bit of running back factory going on, some guys that were productive, but Spears was the one that did it in a dynamic fashion more so than everyone else.
And while we're on the running back class, with Bijan Robinson, you always hear The popular comparison right now is Saquon Barkley, and it feels like an echo chamber sometimes because that's what everyone compares him to. But not only do you say he is not Saquon Barkley, you compare him, your player comp for him is Cedric Benson.
Yeah, and see, a lot of people think football just came out in 2015, right? They don't understand this game. It's been around for 100 years. So when you're talking to someone that is of my age, we have an expansive football, you know, library or encyclopedia. So we've seen a lot, so nothing is ever new. And you go back and watch Cedric Benson and how smooth he ran and how consistently choppy his steps were, but they were productively choppy as he was constantly making moves, going downhill, and was just so solid as a running back prospect coming out of Texas. It looks a lot like Bijan Robinson, because when you watch Saquon, you're seeing, you know, Barry Sanders plus 230 pounds, mm-hmm. right? And so that's the difference. That's why he's not Saquon. Saquon is more, you know, laterally quick and agile and faster. Saquon ran 4.3. I think Bijan ran like low 4.5. That's a significant difference, right? And also when you combine the fact that he has the ability to make that first guy miss, which is where I think Bijan isn't as consistent at in doing, that's a difference. But when you look at someone that's going to be tough to tackle, that finds those little creases in the back, you know, within tight spaces. And here's a football, you know, reference for you guys, right? Watching Bijan run and watching the things he do within confined spaces reminds me a lot of what Marcus Allen did in the run against Washington. Not the one where he reversed field and went 70-something yards touchdown. It was a second short yardage touchdown where he cut it back, you know, in the middle of the line of scrimmage, and right before he's stumbling, he had enough, you know, wherewithal to make that extra guy miss that brought him a half a second to where he could fall into the end zone. That's the type of stuff that's just rare that you see from Bijan Robinson.
People have talked about this wide receiver class and not necessarily being as deep as we've seen in the past. Not a lot of outside guys, maybe some more guys who are in the slot. But when you looked at this group, what were your overall thoughts on this year's wide receiver class?
It's a lot of what you mentioned, because normally when you go in, when I've gone in the last 5 years, you know, because of what we see in college football, I expected to see it a little bit more spread out. I didn't expect to see this many slot guys, this many guys that are 5'9", 5'10", 5'11", that can play inside. They got good quickness. So it's kind of like the tight end class to me where, yeah, it's a good class. I still think this receiver class is really good. It's just spread out across the different form in different positions because, you know, you got your split ends, your Z receivers, your slots, and your bigger inside guys. I'd like to call LaMarcus Colston position. And so you see the talent spread out equally, but there is a bunch of slot guys. So you better hope that if you're getting a slot guy, he better well double up as your punt returner or your kickoff returner, or can be used in the wide receiver run game, because that's now prevalent in the NFL. These guys got to be able to do what Wandell Robinson was doing at Kentucky and what he started to do a little bit with the Giants before he got injured.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
We don't know landing spots yet, but without knowing them, which wide receiver do you feel most confident could have an impact immediately? And then there's always like a wide receiver that we don't project to go like day one or even day two that gets pulled up and makes a pretty good impact. Is there anyone like that that's caught your eye?
Well, to answer your first question, I look at Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and I tweeted this out, and I'm kind of, you know, putting it out there in the atmosphere and hopefully it happens, because it would make so much sense. Him and Atlanta would make a great pairing. You know, I know they went wide receiver in round one last year with Drake London. I know they went tight end in round one the year prior with Kyle Pitts. Double down again, man. Try to build for your young quarterback what Cincinnati did for Joe Burrow. And him paired up with Drake London, would be just tremendous. So he's someone I feel like can go anywhere and be successful. I'm a big fan of what he does because he can play the deep game, he can play the short game, he can play the intermediate game. He's a catch and run guy. So he is someone that's scheme diverse and versatile. Now, answer your second question, everyone loves the Ivy League kid, Andre Ilsevas. I think he's someone that is definitely, athletic. He's a heptathlete. He's 6'3", 215. He doesn't play 6'3", 215, but he runs like someone that is 5'11", 185. So you get a mismatch on the inside or as a Z receiver because he's physical, because he's a big guy. And he has some physicality that he does tend to play with at times. You got to be a little bit more consistent in that area. But try to catch him on a low cross or on a deep over route. It's not happening. So he's someone I think could step in and coming from the later rounds and have an immediate impact.
Want to go back to Bijan and the running backs, because you tweeted about teams not wanting to pay running backs and positional fall off and that sort of thing. We're seeing it in the draft, too, where running backs, guys who are really good, will fall. I mean, if you had the decision to make, would you spend a top 10 pick on Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs basically just based on their talent and not on their position?
Exactly. That's, to me, listen, we, Marcus, I can, say that you are older, young man, right? Yeah, we're around the same age.
Yeah.
Right. So we remember a time when first round picks, okay, I see why this dude went in the first round. He's legit dope. I always bring up the 89 class with what, 4 out of 5 picks were Hall of Famers. That's first round pick to me. And one of them was Barry Sanders. So yes, take the guy that can help you win consistently in the first round. People thought I was dumb in 2018 when I said, if I was the Browns with the first and fourth pick, I'm taking Saquon number one, because I know everyone is going to go crazy. And I know I can get the best quarterback at number four, and that's Lamar Jackson. And I'm going to lead the league in rushing for the next decade. So if a guy is worthy of a first round pick, take him in the first round. There's a significant difference between Reggie Bush and Lindell White, So, yes, you take the Reggie Bush in the first round. You take him in the top five. He probably should have gone number one, and you can find the Lindell Whites. There's more of the Lindell Whites than there are of the Reggie Bushes. So I am going to take the Jahmyr Gibbs or the Bijan Robinsons early in the first round or in the first round. One, because if I need someone that's a game breaker, I'm taking them. And secondly, people love to say you don't give running back second contracts. Well, wouldn't that make more sense to take them in round one, where you get them for the 5 years at their youngest, at their most dynamic, at their most explosive? And then after 5 years, you decide then to either pay them or go back in the first round to get another guy and restart the clock. It makes more sense to take the great running back in round one. Yes, you can find productive players in other rounds. You can find a great quarterback in round six. So why take one in the first round? Why take Will Levis in round one where you could take Tom Brady in round six? That's how dumb they sound when they talk about running back.
And to your point, like Jahmyr Gibbs feels like a first-round talent when I watch him. And the narrative is he's too small. He's sub 200. He's 199. But I went back this week and looked at sub 200 running backs, Chris Johnson, Jamal Charles, CJ Spiller. And I'm like, I think Gibbs could kind of be a similar talent because he's so explosive. Do you think it's silly that Gibbs might fall out of the first round purely because he's a pound under 200 pounds?
Bro, you come back from lunch at 203, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, 190, are we tripping off 199? Warwick Dunn was 176, and he ran for over 10,000 yards in the NFL. Size is not a skill. You guys know that. And the thing is, weight, as we now know, as we all get older, is easy to put on. So I'm not worried about adding weight to someone that's 199. Come on, man. Like that just, especially when you, let's say you look at, I don't know what his weight is now, but I'm pretty sure it's a lot heavier than when he came into the league. But look how dynamic the running back for Kansas City was in the Super Bowl, number one.
Jerick McKinnon.
Exactly. He was a quarterback, an option quarterback at Georgia Southern, probably about 185, 175. He's probably about 185, 190 now. And so it doesn't matter, man. You got to catch someone first. In order to hurt you, I got to catch you first. And if I can't catch you, I'm not going to be able to hurt you. So that's the difference. That's why, you know, and so are we really splitting hairs? And the thing is, people forget, for the combine, a lot of these guys either lose or gain weight specifically for the combine, just for their height and weight to be recorded in history, right? So they'll never have to, you know, test again. They'll never have to weigh again. And so after that, that's why we didn't see Bryce Young run at the combine, because he was 204. That's why we didn't see him run do things down in, you know, at the pro day, because he was probably 185, 195 again. So, of course, I'm not going to weigh again. Kyler Murray checked in his height at the combine at 5'10". At his pro day, I'm not doing the height thing again. I don't have my lifts ready. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not doing that again. You already recorded it in history. So that's what happens with the weight and the height stuff, man. People got to stop tripping.
Is this tight end class as deep as everyone says it is?
It is. And the reason why it's deep is because when you extrapolate it across H-backs, inline, you know, tight end prospects, those that could block and also catch, flex guys are the bigger wide receivers that now are, you know, the tight ends. Those guys, you're finding a lot. I remember Kyle Pitts' year. It was just Kyle Pitts. And it was like, man, it's weak. But now you're finding the flex tight ends having a bunch. The H-backs are really blossoming now. There's more teams are using, you know, dual tight end sets. And the inline guys is even more impressive, because we know the run game, you know, now is not, you don't really need that physical tight end. But I found this class to have a bunch of those guys that can do both block and also catch the ball.
As someone who follows your work so closely, I think I know the answer to this, but who's an unheralded fantasy, a guy that fantasy players should keep attention, pay attention to?
Well, because you did such a fantastic job with that segue, you probably know I'm going with Deuce Vaughn, right?
Yep.
In 5'6", 175, that just, like, is cosmetic. Because when you watch me, like, man, I didn't know I'm watching a Darren Sproles game. Like, why is there a throwback game on TV? Right? That's exactly who he is. And watch him against Alabama. You watch him do a great job against a defense that has five NFL players on it, maybe three first rounders on that defense. So for me, it's him, because he can, if you're a team that has your foundational back, you know, and you get someone like that to complement, it's going to be tremendous. I even said this before, don't let Sean Payton get Deuce Vaughn, because we saw what that looked like when he had Darren Sproles, when he had Alvin Kamara paired up with, you know, another running back, or he had the CJ Spiller for a brief time, you know, when he had Reggie Bush paired up at first with Deuce McAllister and then with Pierre Thomas. So you had Mark Ingram paired up with Alvin Kamara. When he has a guy that starts the game and has that move piece, he's going to do great things. So, yes, the fact that he can catch, the fact that he can run, and the fact that he's also a very good kickoff returner, Deuce Vaughn is a guy that I would keep an eye on and probably stash him late in your fantasy drafts.
He is Emory Hunt, the owner and creator of Football Game Plan. If you want his analysis like this on over 1,000 players, over 100 running backs alone, you could go order his draft guide, footballgameplan.com/2023draft guide. And if you want, on previous draft classes, 2022 draft guide, 2021, it's all there. You could get them all right now. You could also catch his work, CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sportsline, and follow him on Twitter @FBallGamePlan. I'll get it right. Emory, did I cover the bases, or did I miss anything else you want to plug?
I'm also just a well-rounded, great guy. And if you want fashion tips,
he is.
All of the above.
He is. He takes the time for us, but that'll do it for us today on the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. Stay safe, happy, and healthy. Do good and live well. We'll talk to you next week.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.